المتكبر المجيد ذو الجلال والإكرام. So today we're going to continue along that same theme, moving on to names that specifically relate to Allah's power and might. Allah's power and might. And so the first three names that we have are Al-Aziz, Al-Qawi, and Al-Mateen. Al-Aziz, Al-Qawi, and Al-Mateen. And so of these three names that we have, Al-Aziz is the one that has been mentioned the most in the Quran out of these three names. In fact, it has been mentioned approximately 100 times in the Quran. It has been mentioned approximately 100 times in the Quran. And often it is combined with other names like Al-Hakim and Al-Alim. But especially Al-Hakim. It usually comes with Allah's name Al-Hakim. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهِ حَكِيمٌ. And know that Allah is Aziz and Hakim. And an example of Al-Aziz with Al-Alim in Surah Yasin, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ. That is the design of Al-Aziz Al-Alim. The second name, Al-Qawi, it's been mentioned in the Quran 9 times. And most of the time, it comes with Allah's name, Al-Aziz. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. This is Surah Al-Hadid. Twice this name, Al-Qawi, twice it comes with Allah's description of شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah's description of شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, severe in punishment. And so in Surah Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ قَوِيٌّ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. إِنَّهُ قَوِيٌّ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. He is قَوِي, the all-powerful, and شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, severe in punishment. As for Al-Mateen, Allah's name Al-Mateen, it's only been mentioned once in the Quran, and that is in Surah Al-Dhariyat. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah is Al-Razzaq, and this is a name that we have previously covered, the one who provides, and he is ذُو الْقُوَّةِ, which means the possessor of might, and the name from that is Al-Qawi. And he is Al-Mateen, Al-Mateen, which is a similar meaning of being the ever-mighty. And so, as we can see from all of these three names, they all indicate the power, the strength, and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is the difference between these names? As for Al-Aziz, then Al-Aziz means the one who is almighty. And that's how it's often translated as. Al-Aziz is often translated as the almighty. But it also has an element of honor and glory. Allah's name Al-Aziz does not just mean the Almighty or the All-Powerful. It also has an element of glory. And that's because it comes from the root word of Izzah. And Izzah, it means glory and honor. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. Whoever seeks عِزَّة, which is, you know, honor and power and glory, then let him know that all عِزَّة belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so someone who is عزيز, the name عزيز, when it's used for human beings, someone who has status or a position or a position of authority and power. And the example of that we have is in Surah Yusuf. In Surah Yusuf, the king who, you know, we have in the surah, he is referred to as the Aziz of Misr, the Aziz of Egypt. And then and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yusuf that the Aziz of Misr, the Aziz of Egypt, he is the one who has the reins of power. As for Al-Qawi and Al-Mateen, these two names, Al-Qawi and Al-Mateen, they refer to the ultimate strength and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one can overcome. That no one can overcome. The difference between the two, so Al-Qawi and Al-Mateen, it means the all-powerful, the strongest, the mightiest. The difference between the two is that Al-Qawi refers to Allah's all-encompassing ability and power. Okay? Al-Qawi refers to Allah's all-encompassing ability and power and might. While Al-Mateen refers to the great extent of Allah's strength and might. The great extent that it reaches. And so this is why Al-Qawi is often translated into English as the all-powerful. Whereas Al-Mateen is translated as the ever-mighty. So Al-Qawi is often translated as the all-powerful, while Al-Mateen is often translated as the ever-mighty. So one tells us about Allah's all-encompassing might and power, and the other tells us how great that reach is of Allah's might and power, and that is Al-Mateen. And so these are the three names that tell us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Strongest, and so on and so forth. And so let us go through some of the lessons that we learned from these three names. Number one, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz should humble oneself to none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it shouldn't make us to seek glory and might from anyone besides Allah. As Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. Whoever seeks عِزَّة, glory, might, power, then to Allah belongs all of that. And we have in the famous story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, when he had arrived in Al-Quds to the keys of the city. And that was because when the Muslim commander, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when the city fell in his hands, Jerusalem, basically they lay the city until that's it, the people had given up. However, the people of the city, they said, we cannot hand over the city to you guys. We can only hand it over to your leader. And that is because they knew from their scriptures that it must be the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who receives the keys of the city. And so Umar ibn Khattab, he was back in Medina. And so they sent for him and he came. Now, when he came, he did not come with a huge entourage and, you know, he didn't enter the city in style like kings usually do, conquerors usually do. And this is the point I'm coming to, his famous statement. Because some of the companions or some of the Muslims, they said, you know, why don't you dress in better clothes, enter in a beautiful horse. And so he entered walking while his servant was riding the animal. So anyways, when he heard this, what did he say? He said, "Kunna adalla qawmin." We were the most humiliated of people. فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. And so Allah granted us izzah, glory, and honor and might through Islam. Allah elevated us through what? Through Islam. فَمَهْمَا بِتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. As long as we seek that izzah from other than Islam, then Allah will humiliate us. Allah will humiliate us. And so, even though Umar ibn al-Khattab, he had every right to do that, to enter, you know, in style and whatnot, but he was teaching the Muslims a lesson. And that is that we should not seek this izzah through the dunya, but rather through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. The second lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Aziz is unlike anyone else who is described as being Aziz. And so when people, they gain some kind of power and might, what do they do? They will use that to their advantage, oppressing others and subjugating others unjustly. But that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not the case with Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines this name of His Al-Aziz with Al-Rahim in several different places in the Quran, to indicate that although Allah is described as being the all-powerful, the almighty, at the same time, He doesn't always use that power and might, but rather He gives us a chance and He will delay punishing us. And instead, He'll show mercy to us. Mercy and compassion. And that's the meaning of Ar-Rahim. And that's why it's very important for us to contemplate and reflect over, you know, the Quran. And whenever Allah combines certain names, we should reflect over it. Why? Why does Allah do that? And it's usually because of the context of the ayah. The ayah is talking about something, and so because of that, these names are brought together.
Sorry, just a quick question. So about this, I noticed in Qad Sami'a, including in Hadith, it's very repeated العزيز الحكيم سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم وهو العزيز الحكيم nearly in every single surah for a couple of surahs it says العزيز الحكيم العزيز الحكيم is there any correlation why those surahs and why الحكيم with العزيز
Basically, those surahs are talking about the glory of Allah. The fact that they start with Sabbaha, glorifying Allah. And, you know, glory, it has that. Al-Aziz, it means the one who is described as being, of having glory and might, etc. But we'll talk about Al-Aziz coming with Al-Hakim. Yes, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, he took that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a doubt. In fact, all four of the khulafa, and that's why they were the rightly guided khulafa. And that's why no one who came after them could be described with that description. Because they truly did, show how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived and ruled, basically. Alright. Allah combines Al-Aziz with Al-Hakim because Al-Hakim means the all-wise. And what does Hikmah mean exactly? It means, as they say, وَضْعَ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ to put something in its proper place. Hikmah, wisdom, means to put something in its proper place. Sometimes you want to do what is right and you think this is the right thing to do. And yes, logically, it's the right thing to do. But wisdom dictates that you don't do it at that particular time, for example. Right? So that's what we mean by wisdom, to put things in their proper place. So Allah combines Al-Aziz with Al-Hakim quite a lot in the Quran. And there's a story of one of the leading scholars of the Arabic language from the time, from the early generations of Islam. His name was Al-Asma'i. He was once, he says, I was reciting the Quran and I was reciting Surah Al-Ma'idah. And next to me, there was a Bedouin sitting next to me. Until I recited the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقُطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِنَ اللَّهِ As for the male and the female thieves, cut off their hands for what they have done as a deterrent from Allah. He says, but I mistakenly ended the ayah by saying, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Allah is the forgiving and the most merciful. How does the ayah end? Wallahu? Azizun Hakim. So the Bedouin, he was sitting next to me, he said, whose words are these? I said, these are the words of Allah. He said, no, these are not the words of Allah. He said, repeat it. So I repeated it. And then I realized my mistake and how it should have been. Wallahu Azizun Hakim. So I asked the Bedouin, have you read the Quran? Have you memorized the Quran? He said, no. I don't even know how to read. So I said, how did you know that I made this mistake? And so he answered, he said, He said, he is described as being the Almighty, and as a result, he used his wisdom. And that is why he commanded chopping off the hand. And if he did not command chopping off the hand here, then you could say, Wallahu ghafoor rahim. But you cannot say that Allah is forgiving when he's saying that we need to chop off the hand of the thief. And so anyways, we see here how these two names, what they mean when they come together, Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim, is that someone who is mighty, people who are mighty, they will misuse that might of theirs. Whereas that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so whatever He commands, for example, whatever punishments He has legislated, based on hikmah, it is based on wisdom. And it's not misusing that might of His. The third lesson that we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that He is the all-powerful and the almighty, should make us realize that Allah can never be defeated. And as such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there on the side of the believers, as long as they show their commitment to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah will certainly help those who stand up for Him. Indeed, He is Al-Qawi Al-Aziz. Right? Again, why does Allah use these names here? Because He's talking about Him giving victory to those who stand up for Him. And Allah says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Again, why does Allah end with these two names? Allah says, Allah has decreed, me and my messengers will certainly prevail. Me and my messengers will certainly prevail. Indeed, Allah is قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. He is the all-powerful, the almighty. But as I said, this is on the condition that we show our commitment to Allah and the deen of Allah. When we fail in that, then we should ask, where is the victory of Allah? Even though He promised it here in these ayat and other ayat in the Quran. The fact that He does not send His victory does not mean that He is incapable. It doesn't mean that He is no longer Qawi and Al-Mateen. No. It just means that we are not doing our part. We are failing. We are failing from doing our part. And that's why the Ummah is in the state that we are in today. Alright, we move on after that to another three names of Allah related to Allah's might and power. And these three names are Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahir, and Al-Qahhar. Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahir, and Al-Qahhar. And so we continue along that same theme of Allah's power and might. However, here we turn to names that relate to Allah's supremacy and His domination and Him being irresistible and everyone being compelled before Allah. And so let us look at these three names. The first is Al-Jabbar. It has been mentioned only once in the Quran. Which surah? Surah Al-Hashr. In those names, those 17 odd names that Allah mentions at the end of Surah Al-Hashr. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. So this is the only place Al-Jabbar is mentioned. As for Al-Qahir, twice in the Quran, and both times the same phrase was used. And both are mentioned in the same surah. Which surah is that? So what is the phrase? وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. And this is in surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am. So Allah says in the first ayah, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is Al-Qahir, the one who reigns supreme over his servants, فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he is the all-wise, the all-aware. The other ayah, also in Al-An'am, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَهُ. And he sends recording angels watching over you. As for Al-Qahhar, it has been mentioned 6 times in the Quran. And in each time it was combined with 2 of Allah's names. Every time. So 6 times it's been mentioned, and every time it's combined with 2 of Allah's names. What are they? Al-Wahid and Allah. Right? Allahu al-Wahid al-Qahhar. That's how it comes in the Quran. Allahu al-Wahid al-Qahhar. And so, for example, in Surah Yusuf, when Yusuf alayhi salam was in prison and he was trying to give da'wah to his prison mates, he said, Ya sahiba yassijni a'arubabun متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار. Which is far better? Many different gods or Allah الواحد, the one القهار. And in Surah Ibrahim, Allah talks about the Day of Judgment. يوم تبدل الأرض والسماوات وبرزوا لله الواحد القهار. The day when the earth will be changed into a different earth and the heavens as well. And Allah will appear before them. Allah al-Wahid al-Qahhar. So what do these names mean? As for al-Jabbar, it comes from the root word of Jabara, which means to impose. Or it also means to support. So it means to impose or to compel someone or to impose your rule. But it also means to support. For example, how do we say cast in Arabic? Jabira. A cast that supports a broken bone. So we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Jabbar, meaning that He is the one who imposes and compels everyone, and He cannot be resisted. The one whose irresistible force is without limitation. The one who is above His creation. He is above all things. Who compels the creation to be as it wills. And so everything in this universe is the way it is because Allah created it that way and it could not resist. There is no way that the creation could resist how they are functioning. They are all functioning by the will of Allah, and none of them can resist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say He is also, Al-Jabbar means He is also the amender or the rectifier. The one who repairs or restores or completes or sets something right once again out of His mercy. So He comforts those who are broken or oppressed. He enriches the poor. He relieves the distressed and the ill. And so on and so forth. And that is the meaning of the dua. When we say between the two sujoods, what do we say? Allahumma ghafirli warhamni wahdini wajburni is also in there. Wajburni. So ujburni, which comes from the same root word, it means, O Allah, enrich me. Help me. So this is Al-Jabbar. As for Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar. Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar. They both come from the same root word of Qahara. But there's a difference between the two. And this is a difference that we have repeated several times already with similar names. And that is that in the Arabic language, we have different scales for the doer. And so the doer is al-fa'il on the scale of al-fa'il. And in this case, al-qahir is on that scale. And then we have the scale of fa'al. And Allah's name, al-qahhar, is on that scale. And we've explained what that means. What does it mean? What is the difference between al-fa'il and al-fa'al?
Like, fa'al is when you're constantly doing something. Mm-hmm. And then fa'il is when you're the doer of something.
Yeah, just normal doer. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say He is al-qahir, we say that He is the compeller. And when we say He is al-qahhar, then we say He is the one who is always compelling and ever dominating and ever irresistible with no end. Ibn Kathir, he says in his tafsir of the ayah, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Here Allah says that He reigns supreme, قاهر, over His. Ibn Kathir says, meaning that to Allah the necks are subservient, the tyrants humble before Him, and He has complete control over all things. The creatures have all bowed to Allah and are humbled before His grace, His honor, His pride, His greatness, His highness, and His ability over all things. The creatures are insignificant before Him, for they are all under His irresistible decision and power. So this tells us the meaning of Allah being above His servants in this, by using His name Al-Qahir. As for Al-Qahhar, we mentioned that it has been mentioned 6 times in the Quran, and each time with Allah's names, Allah and Al-Wahid. And what we notice is that there are generally 2 contexts in which Al-Qahhar has been mentioned in the Quran. So all 6 times, we can put them in 2 of these categories. The first is in affirming the Tawheed of Allah and refuting Shirk and the arguments of the Mushrikun. So here, the meaning of Al-Qahhar is that Allah prevails and is dominant over the Mushrikun and their weak arguments, justifying their shirk. So He is the one who subdues all doubts and false arguments with clear proofs and evidences. Okay, so now let's look at each of these 6 times that, you know, Allah's name Al-Qahhar is mentioned. So twice, or not twice, but 4 times, it comes under this category. So we mentioned the first ayah in Surah Yusuf, when Yusuf was debating, or he was giving da'wah to his prison mates, right? He was talking about the oneness of Allah. Right? He said, which is better, having many gods or having one? Al-Wahid Al-Qahar. Right? So he was using that as evidence. The other time is again in the context of refuting the mushrikun in Surah Al-Ra'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَ خَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Have they associated with Allah partners who supposedly produce a creation like His, leaving them confused between the two creations? Right here, Allah is asking us, these other gods, have they created something like what Allah has created, leaving the people confused as to who's the creator? And then Allah ends the ayah by saying, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. He is the one, Al-Qahhar. And in Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرْ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Say to them, O Muhammad, I am only a warner, and there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. So again, trying to prove the Tawheed of Allah, refuting shirk. And the fourth instance is in Surah Az-Zumar. Allah says, لَوْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا لَصْطَفَى مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَعْ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Here Allah is refuting the Christians who claim that Allah has a son. Allah says, had it been Allah's will to have a child, He could have chosen whatever He wanted of His creation. Glory be to Him, He is Allah, the One, Al-Qahhar. So again, when it comes in the context of refuting shirk and doubts and false arguments, Allah's name, Al-Qahhar, is mentioned to show that Allah is the compeller. And everyone has to, you know, submit to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second context in which Al-Qahhar has been mentioned in the Quran, and that is the remaining two times, in the context of the Day of Judgment, in the context of warning the mushrikun of that day. So the meaning of Al-Qahhar here is that Allah will prevail, and He will be dominant over everyone and over the mushrikun in the Akhirah, and they will be subjugated to Him. They will all be subjugated to Him. And so Allah will resurrect everyone by His will, and He will bring them before Him to be judged, and no one will be able to resist any of that. No one will be able to resist any of that. And so in Surah Ibrahim, we mentioned the ayah. Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غير الأرض والسماوات وبرزوا لله الواحد القهار. The day when the earth will be changed to a different earth, and the heavens as well, and all will appear before Allah, الواحد القهار. So when Allah is talking about the Day of Judgment and how different that day will be and how tremendous it will be, He's letting us know that no one can escape it, and no one can show their might, no one can resist it. Everyone will be compelled to be to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And in Surah Ghafir, Allah says, يَوْمَ هُمْ بَارِزُونَ لَا يَخْفَى مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمَ. The day that all of them will appear before Allah, nothing about them will be hidden from Him. And Allah will ask, who does all al-mulk, who does the dominion, the authority belong to on this day? And the answer will be to Allah, the One, Al-Qahhar. And we mentioned a hadith previously when we spoke about Allah's name, Al-Mutakabbir, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will fold up the heavens in His right hand, and then He will say, on the Day of Judgment, He'll say, I am the Malik, I am the King. أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ Where are the جَبَّارُونَ? Those who thought that they are irresistible. And where are the proud and the arrogant? So what we can see is a clear correlation between Allah's names, Al-Qahhar, right? So because of who Allah is, that He is the one and the only, because of that, He therefore prevails and He reigns over His creation, compelling all of them, none of them being able to resist Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as we can see from these three names, Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahir, and Al-Qahhar, Allah is the one who prevails over His creation. He is the one who is always victorious over any opposition. And He is the one who is irresistible, the one who is dominant, the one to whom all submit and are compelled to submit to. And so we conclude with what we learned from these three names of Allah. The first lesson that we Allah prevails over His entire creation. Allah prevails over His entire creation. And so, no matter how much might they may have, they can never resist the force of Allah. If they could, what would they resist? If we had the ability, let's say there's someone extremely mighty, and he is known as being the irresistible, the most powerful. And, you know, he resists everything. Any attempt on his life or any attempt on his power, he's easily able to resist it. But what is one thing that he cannot resist? Death. Right? Which is why Allah reminds us that He is Al-Qahir fawqa ibadihi. And then what does He say? وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَهُ. Let's look at that ayah. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَهُ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. Allah tells us that He is Qahir over His servants, and He sends these angels to watch over us. They are the angels of death. And then Allah says, when death comes to any of you, our angels take away their soul, never neglecting their duty. And so it was suitable for Allah to tell us that He is Qahir over Him. And then to mention this. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. Yes, those are the recording angels. And then Allah says, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا. Those are the angels of death. When death comes to one of you, Allah sends His angels of death. The second lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over us, and He subjugates us to His will as He pleases, without us having any say in His decisions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He is never to be questioned about what He does, but they will be questioned. Meaning, we will be questioned by Allah. Why? Because He is our Rabb. He is our Creator. Did He take your permission to create you? No. So who are we to object? Unfortunately, you have a disease among many people today who object to either one of two things related to Allah. Either His ahkam, His legislations, what He has revealed, what He has ordained in terms of what He has commanded. And number two, in terms of His qadr, what He has decreed. You have people who object to both. Why do I have to pray five times a day? Why do I have to wear the hijab? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? Why is this haram? Why is that haram? And then you have people who object to the qadr of Allah. Why is Allah making me go through this suffering? Why has Allah created me in such and such way? Constantly objecting to Allah, not realizing that Allah is Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar. And so these two names, or these three names, they teach us that Allah subjugates us as He pleases. He doesn't take our permission when He decrees something for us, right? So who are we to object? However, an important point here is we should not, this does not mean that Allah has therefore forced us and not given us free will. So it doesn't mean now that because we are subjugated to Allah's will, that, you know, whatever I do, it's the will of Allah and I'm subjugated to it. I cannot resist, right? No, that's not what it means. And this is what people use to justify committing sins, right? Using qadr to justify committing sins. And so this is why we affirm that although Allah has subdued us to His will, when it comes to actions that will result in either punishment or reward in the Akhirah, then He has given us free will to decide. He has given us free will to decide. The third lesson that we learn is that these names should make one to feel weak and humble before Allah and His might and His irresistible force. Especially when you realize that everything happens by Allah's command and by His wish. And then this should then push you to worship Allah and seek His protection from all harm. Right? When you understand who Allah is, He is Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahir, Al-Qahhar, that should put something in your heart to make you feel weak in front of His force, His irresistible force. And then it should drive you to worship Allah. Right? As they say, there is none who you run away from in order to run to Him except Allah. There is no one who you will flee from and then to look for protection you run to Him except Allah. If you fear someone, you run away from him. If you fear something, you run away from that thing except for Allah. When you fear Him, you run back to Him. And so that is what these names should instill within our hearts. That yes, although Allah is Al-Jabbar and Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar, right? Almighty, and we are weak, right? But at the same time, Allah has promised us that as long as, you know, we follow His commands, and we are in line with what He has commanded, then He'll be there to protect us from any harm. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth lesson that we learn, these two names, Al-Qahir and Al-Qahar, are names that belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not appropriate for humans to have such names or to be described with Al-Qahr, with the attribute of Qahr. We mentioned that, you know, certain names of Allah, you can use them for people, right? Such as Aziz and Rahim, Kareem, right? But not Al-Qahir. You cannot name someone Qahir or Qahar. And the reason for this is described as such. He usually uses that in oppression. Someone who is described as having qahr, he is usually someone who is a tyrant, as Allah said regarding Fir'aun. In fact, that is exactly what Fir'aun said. قَالَ سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. He said about Bani Israel, we will kill their sons and keep their women. وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. And we will completely be qahir, will be dominant over them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this attribute of qahr. Which surah? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Right? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan, do not subjugate him. Do not use force against him. Be kind and compassionate with the orphan. And this was a command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically. The last lesson that we will mention is that we should call upon Allah with all of his names, as we have mentioned previously. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Allah by his names. But here, there's a particular attribute, and that is the attribute of Al-Jabarut, which the name is from, Al-Jabbar. And so we should call upon Allah with this attribute because the Prophet ﷺ taught us to do so in a dhikr. And that dhikr is, the Prophet ﷺ would say this dhikr in his ruku' and his sujood. In ruku' and sujood, we say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This is also something else we should add, and that is Subhana dhil jabaruti وَالْمَلَكُوتِ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءِ وَالْعَظَمَةِ. سُبْحَانَ ذِي الْجَبَرُوتِ وَالْمَلَكُوتِ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءِ وَالْعَظَمَةِ. And so you're glorifying Allah, the one who possesses Jabarut, which is from Allah's name Jabbar, and the one who possesses Malakut, which is the kingdom, the dominion, and Al-Kibriya, all pride belongs to Allah, and Al-Azamah. Subhana dhil jabaruti wal malakuti wal kibriya'i wal azamah. Al-Azamah being the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we notice here? All of these attributes and, you know, his power and his irresistible nature. And so this is where we'll stop. So, Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions, we can take them now.
I guess this doesn't count because it's more from actually from Surah Al-Qalam, where he says, "Wabli lahum inna kaydi matin." That's an attribute to an attribute for.
Yeah.
So kayd is an
Yeah, so inna kaydi matin means Allah's plan.